Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there's old crazy Marler, that crazy SOB, back for a Marler Monday. What's up, buddy?
How are you, dude?
I didn't even ask if you were ready. I just said, all right, let's go live.
Yeah, you said something to me and then cut me off in mid-sentence and said I was stupid or something. And then we're like, here we go.
I kid. But how are you, man? I mean, this is the SEC is damn wild right now, Chris. And,
yeah.
And let me know if you disagree. I said this last night. It was kind of the theme of the show. I'm not saying that all these teams have like an equal shot to win the SEC.
Right.
But I think Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss, LSU, A&M, Tennessee, Mizzou, Vandy, Oklahoma, and I'll even throw in those Texas Longhorns. Mm-hmm. I think any of those could conceivably win the conference. Do you agree?
I do. Think about how wild September's been and think about how much wilder it's going to get. Hail Stake. What's up, baby? Big game this weekend for Mississippi State. That was awesome. Let's see if this will help my face not look so shitty.
It looks great.
Not helping. Mike, I'll just be honest with you. I drank about all the Fireball that is in the Tri-County area down here in Baton Rouge on Saturday night, and I'm still trying to get over that.
Was it on sale or something? Because those Cajuns didn't want to drink?
No. It was just because I had convinced myself that at about, I don't know, halfway through the third quarter of both games I was watching, that me taking a sip of that was somehow good luck. And then I proceeded to take one pretty much every single play throughout the fourth quarter of one of those games. And I had a time, so I am struggling today. I think it's true. I think it's good for the sport, for one. I think it's been a lot of fun, to be honest. But also, it's one of those things, too, where it's like we no one has gotten into the meat of their schedule. No one's gotten into the meat of their schedule yet. So I think it's wide open. I think the in this day and age, especially with the way the conference has aligned or the conference realignment's been, way NIL, portal, you don't have to go undefeated. So there's not as much tense. Like Georgia has a big loss this weekend. It doesn't feel like it's as tense for them. Like Texas still kind of laying in the weeds there at 3-1. We'll see what they have this weekend in Gainesville. But like, there's so many teams that you still have such a long way to go. I think this is the team that I'm most frustrated that is probably still going to end up making it, because dude, look at their schedule. Like they get to play Oklahoma with a backup quarterback.
Maybe Florida. I think DJ will be fine, but maybe not.
I don't think that they're going to lose to Mississippi State. I know they're not going to lose to Kentucky. They get Vandy at home, which is a sentence I did not think it would need to be. It's like, I don't know if they beat Georgia, but I don't know because Georgia is beatable, as we saw this weekend. And then they get A&M at home. So, like, that's a team that could still finish up 6-2, 7-1 in the conference and then get to Atlanta. But, man, there's a lot.
Hey, and shout out you. I don't know this account. They're new to me. But I did retweet them because you did. I saw it. And it was, I want to give him a shout out because it was so good. And I went on their account. It was pretty amazing. Icing the punter. Have you beaten a Power 4 opponent? It's literally the entire top 25. And it says, yes, of course. It's week 6. We've all beaten a Power 4.
Right.
There's two exceptions, Texas and Penn State, which are in the top 10.
That is the issue. It's not that you think that they're not going to do it. Like, I think Texas is still a good team. It's weird to me that Texas fans have, once again, come out of the woodwork. I had several of them in my mentions when I did my power rankings thing, which was like, Texas should be number one. Like, how did you get to that? Like, Oklahoma didn't even play a game this weekend. Texas didn't either. Like, I have no words for that fan base.
All right, hey, we went this far, and you didn't get to gloat yet about Alabama whipping some ass. And I believe I went on your show. You picked Georgia to win the game, if I'm not mistaken. So,
I have emotionally hedged that game for the last six seasons. There's one time that I picked Bama. I'm not making this up. There's one time since 2020 mm-hmm. that I have picked Alabama to win, and that was the national championship game that they lost. because they, I mean, people, I love that argument. People still get upset about it, which is like, oh, yeah, the Bama complains about all the players being hurt. It's like, well, they beat the shit out of Georgia one calendar month prior to that and put up 41 points on the greatest defense of all time. But, no, that game was awesome. It didn't feel like Bama really had the lead in the second half. I was really impressed, though, like just removal of whoever whatever team my family grew up cheering for. And I'll just say that, like, it was really impressive to sit here and watch Kalen DeBoer go on the road in a game that no one really was giving him a ton of chances to win, and not just get ahead early, but they didn't score in the second half. I mean, like, keeping the lead, figuring out a way to like still be so creative on offense. The defense played really well when they needed it most. They won the turnover battle. They were incredible on third down. And here's the thing that I don't think anybody was ready to see. Kalen DeBoer went on the road and made less mistakes than Kirby Smart and outcoached Kirby Smart. And you could say last year he did because he beat him, but also, like, they're a miracle away from not blowing that. And he outcoached him, I think, in the first half last year for sure, but the second half things got away from him a little bit. But yeah, man, like it's interesting. I've been waiting for 15 years for this to happen, and it's finally happening, which is Alabama beats Georgia, which happens all the time. All the time. They are the Penn State of the SEC when it comes to this game. And it's time somebody calls them out for it. Like, we do this every year with Georgia. I'm guilty of it too. Oh yeah, of course they're going to beat Bama this year. And then what do you know? They pissed on their leg once again. But I think the thing that was so interesting was this is the first time that I didn't have to see a bunch of Georgia fans going online posting pictures of phantom holding calls. This should have been called this way, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they beat themselves. I don't know why he didn't kick the field goal there. I don't know why he doubled down defending it. I do think this is a mental block where it's like Georgia is a really good football team. I still think that. Like, they have things to work on, but this is a work in progress that, like, we're not necessarily used to seeing with Georgia yet, like them being this vulnerable to a loss this early on. I have every bit of confidence in the world that Kirby Smart will figure this thing out, turn it around. They're going to go out this weekend against Kentucky, probably get a win there.
That's the team they struggle with, though. They always beat them, but they struggle.
I think what you might see out of them this next week is because Kentucky's just so bad. But I look back at, remember the 2014 Bama season where they lost to Ole Miss? Next week they had Arkansas, and they were in like a dogfight with Arkansas. It was like a 14-13 game in the rain. That might be the case with Kentucky and Georgia this weekend. But I think you're going to see a team that's focused again. I think you're going to see a team like Kirby is really good at learning from his mistakes in the season. I don't know what happens to him when Alabama's on the other side of the field. I don't know what happens.
Hey, shout out to Chase Moore. I just want to bring this to attention. Georgia beat themselves, dropped a touchdown, poor decision making. Chris, why do we look at themselves? Taylor, which, yes, he dropped a wide open, would have been a walk-in touchdown. Why do we highlight that, but we don't highlight Ryan Williams dropped a walk-in touchdown?
I hate to answer this question because Bama still scored on that drive. But also, that's also a reason why that whole argument of they beat themselves, whatever makes you sleep at night, and I'm not saying this to be a dick to Georgia fans. Like, I'm not.
He's not even a Georgia fan, by the way.
Either way, like you can say you can have that attitude, but when Brian Williams dropped a wide open touchdown pass,
yeah,
Bama went down the field and still scored on that possession. There's so many things that they did wrong, but again, guys, like this is what they do every time they play them. Like, this is the defending SEC champions. It's a team that beat Texas twice. This guy's 0-2. Kirby is the best coach in college football. He's 0-2 against Kalen DeBoer, the guy that I see all the time called Husky Harson. You know, like Kalen DeBose, all that kind of stuff. Like
DeBoring. Trademark. I trademarked it.
Yeah, I got Kalen DeBose. My boss started using it. I appreciate that too, Chase Moore. I do think that, like, there's mistakes they made for sure, but it's like you had that. I tell you what, I firmly believe this, Mike. If the helmet and logo was different than Alabama's, if it was any other team, I think Kirby Smart kicks the field goal there on 4th-and-1. Because I think he's confident enough to know that I'll tie it up. That puts even more pressure on them because now they have to go win. There was just no reason to do it. And I'll tell you what was the most concerning part was in the play that's not getting talked about at all for some reason. 4th-and-goal from like the 2-yard line in the first half, they threw the football from it might have been like the first quarter. From that moment to me, I was like, that says a lot about how they feel from a confidence standpoint because they don't feel like they can just line up and run the football at Alabama. And they kept doing it though. Like they did it all game. They averaged 7 yards a carry, but it was like Nate Frazier fumbles, pull him out. You don't see him the rest of the game. Cash Jones comes in, the white running back on 4th-down, hadn't played all game. Ballsy move. I also think that you consider and say all the stuff about Georgia, Ty Simpson. And I told you this was going to happen. He picked that defense apart for four straight quarters. Ryan Grubb was awesome. They don't need Ryan Williams anymore because they have Caden Proctor. So, you know, he's up for the Biletnikoff, the Biletnitroff. He gives up the fattest receiver in the country, Caden Proctor.
Hey, well, I think you've already answered this basically, but yeah, when do we get concerned about Georgia? Because again, this is two games in a row now, two of their conference games where they've gotten essentially lit up. I know they resolved the issues in the second half against Bama, yeah, but they never solved them against Tennessee. And how about this statistic, Chris? I don't know if you've heard it yet, but Georgia in their last seven games against power opponents, do you have any idea what their record is?
No. Hold on, let me guess. 7-0 in their minds.
4-3. And three really? Of the four and three of the four wins have been in overtime. Wait. So we could be sitting here in a reality where Georgia is 1-6 in their last seven. Wow. Power again. Now, do I think Georgia sucks and they're going to go in the tank? No, but and maybe that, you know, Kirby after the game, he's like, "This is a new reality, boys. You know, this is a sport, yeah, where it's at." Which that's probably the truth. But you know, does Georgia still have that championship edge? Do you think?
That is the question. Listen, I also say this, like, I'm not going to sit here and ever tell you, because I don't know if I have the answer to that, Mike. I really don't. And I know you asked me the question, so I wish I did. But like, I do think that there is, I thought about this morning in the shower, but naked. And that was this, the amount of, like, you look at Pittman at Arkansas. I threw out a stat yesterday, and we'll talk about it here later, I'm sure, because I'll bring it up if you don't. But just how difficult his tenure was, and like the mountain that he had to climb in front of him, the obstacles that he had to overcome, like with like that schedule and what he had and all that kind of stuff. We talk so much about head coaches and this guy's good, this guy's bad, this guy sucks, this guy's overrated. The hiring and firing and losing of a staff and the coordinators especially is so incredibly huge that I think we overlook that a lot. Like losing what's his name to the NFL. Why am I drawing a blank on his name? The guy that they had to replace Bobo. They won back-to-back national championships with him as the OC. Why can't I think of his name for Georgia?
Sorry, I was writing something. The offensive coordinator Todd Monken.
Todd Monken. So Todd Monken being gone, that changed things a lot. Like, I don't think Bobo's a bad coordinator. I think that Bobo, we have seen Bobo in this league, what he can be. And, dude, I tell you what, we've also seen him. There's times where he's in his bag and he's awesome. There's also times where he's at South Carolina and not good. He's at Auburn and not good. And him kind of going back there, I think Kirby's going to have to go do what he seemingly did best when he started this run, which was, I don't give a shit about my friendships and like all that kind of stuff. I'm going to go get somebody that's going to help me win football games. Like, go find an offensive coordinator because you have the talent everywhere on that field. Like, it was just, it's bizarre to see them struggle this much. But also to put all that focus on their struggles does take away from how good of the teams are playing. Like it's not easy. It's not easy to go on the road in Knoxville. It's not easy to be Kalen DeBoer in big games like that. I think somebody brought up here earlier, it's a great point. Yeah, I was thinking about that when I was naked, Ben. I think the one thing that is a big question for DeBoer moving forward is, it's awesome to beat Georgia. You're 2-0 against them. I asked him this at Media Days, though. I remember talking to you about it, too. You're 16-3 against top 25 teams now. You're 7-1 against the top 10. But of your losses, I think, like, at the time, I think 11 of his 14 losses at the FBS level have come to unranked teams. And almost half of those are in games where he was a double-digit favorite. So
they're losing to Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're losing the Iron Bowl.
You can sell me on both of those. I mean, you look at last year, they beat Georgia. They lost to Vandy a week later. I thought Vandy was a really good football team. That wasn't a fluke game. Vandy came in there and beat the shit out of them physically. Like they controlled that game from start to finish. You beat LSU like a drum on the road. And then you come back out and lay an egg and have the least points scored in, I think, like 20 years, maybe something like that, against Oklahoma. So they have a lot to work out too. I think it's a great win, but that's a long season, man.
Yeah. Well, speaking of great.
Yeah.
Shout out our legend.
Legend. JR. Cousin JR has done it again.
Thank you, JR. He gives a membership, Chris, to every on every episode.
What does that mean? We hop on.
Huh?
What does that mean? He gives a membership.
So we have official. It's a way to support the channel. So they it costs $5, and people get to use their little. They get little bonuses here, essentially, and we mail them koozies and stuff. So, little Sith Lord. Little Sith Lord, welcome to the family. See, Chris, we are a business over here. I don't know if you can tell.
You are, dude. You look at, dude, it's incredible to watch. Also, you guys might not know this, but Mike is one person. He doesn't have, like, a team working for him. And he's been doing this for a long time, mailing out all the koozies and shit on his own by himself. It's really awesome. Right. I wonder where he got that idea from.
Not from you. Is that what you think every idea I have comes from you?
Dude, I'm messing with you. No, but that is awesome. Cause I remember talking about that at SDS, because I was asking you, I was doing it for SDS, but I was writing everything out in hand by hand. So it was taking way too long. And you're like, just get a fucking program that will print it off for you. And I was like, that's a good idea, Mike. That's a good point.
Hey, so we've talked a lot about Georgia Bama here. We have not talked about, how about this one, buddy? You kind of alluded to it here, but Ole Miss, hell, I mean, are they the best team, perhaps, in the conference? And, you know, you look at who they've got coming up. Now, Georgia looks beatable, of course, but it's in Athens. But Oklahoma, you know, we don't know. What if John Mateer is still not there? The expectation now, fair or not, is playoffs or bust. Of course, where have you heard that before in Oxford? But it looks doable this year. Yes. And LSU, you know, I don't think they're done. With that defense, they're going to be in every game. But it's how about this? Because I know I just threw a lot at you.
Yeah.
You are in Baton Rouge now. You are embedded with these great fans. But they, to my knowledge, Chris, they do not consider Ole Miss as like a heated rival. It's like that's a game you're supposed to win.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they stormed the field three times, beating Ole Miss here recently. So I don't know how you had. It's not a rival.
Oh yeah,
but we're storming the field, but we're supposed to beat them. I don't know where that. Again, that's another side story. But big picture, where's Ole Miss? Where's LSU? Because I think Ole Miss is a better coach. I said it all last week. Better program right now.
I mean, I don't know if I'd say better program.
Better.
But I couldn't really argue against it, Mike. I really couldn't argue against it. I think one of the things about that is, I mean, dude, like Kiffin brought it up. They were a play away from winning last year. Like, they kind of like handed that game to LSU a season ago in Baton Rouge. And now you look at the fact they've beaten them three straight times in Oxford. I thought this was – I was bummed for my local friends. It's been very, very downtrodden and glum and gloomy over here in Baton Rouge. But Ole Miss fans, like, I was wrong for one. I didn't firmly believe, and I will throw out the caveat and kind of give myself a little bit of slack here. I was not a believer in Austin Simmons. Trinidad Chambliss is awesome. And you think about how this game started too, Mike. They came out, they were like three and out in their first two possessions. It was the first time in like 11 games they went three and out in their first possession. LSU's defense looked great. You kind of assumed that LSU's going to be able to run the football finally because Ole Miss's run defense is so bad. I was so impressed with Ole Miss coming in here and knowing their identity. Like, they knew who they were. They were fine. Like, they did not panic. They didn't get too down, too up, or anything like that. And I hate to skip through the whole game because there's so many parts of it that I thought were great. But I'm like irrationally fired up for Ole Miss right now, even talking about this game. Watching Lane Kiffin on 4th-and-3 when he was in field goal range to like go up 8, knowing that LSU probably couldn't go down the field and score and then get a 2-point conversion, him deciding to put the dagger in, final nail in the coffin right there on 4th-and-3 after the timeout, still sends the offense back out there, puts faith in his guys, puts faith in his play calling, what he wanted to see. I thought that was so fucking awesome. And like, I thought that was a really, really incredible move and an incredible moment by him. But more than anything, I think it kind of speaks volumes about what he feels he has in this team.
Have you seen this photo? I don't know if it's real. I assume it is.
I didn't get it.
So this is Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, and I believe this is Trinidad as a kid. And so Ole Miss said, feed him. it's Trinidad. that's a Kiffin tweet. That's nothing I did. So I just think
what's the feed him part? I don't even know.
Well, I don't want to speculate, but I think you can kind of figure that out on your own. But yeah, I mean, hell, he's got to be in the Heisman conversation. I don't know how you go back to Austin Simmons. Hey, because you hit on something very important there. They struggled right out the gate, right? Because this is the first time I think that Trinidad has seen a real defense.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, speed of the game. It's elite defenders. And hell, they had another touchdown that not wiped off the board, but essentially they would have scored, but there was the fumble and all that. So really, I mean, they kind of whooped their ass.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, if I'm an LSU fan, and I don't see him in here today, I think they're taking the week off. But, you know, I think you could easily say, well, our quarterback's hurt. And with him hurt, the entire operation is not successful. They get a bye week. If they get Nuss back fully healthy, maybe they're cooking with something. But I don't know. I'm not out on LSU, but I'm just more impressed with Ole Miss because I thought they were like a 8-4 team at best this year.
I was too. I thought I didn't think the defense was going to be able to replace all the people they had to replace.
Right.
I just thought it was a great win. Trinidad Chambliss is awesome. I think you put up a stat earlier today about the passing yard leaders in the conference, and he ranks up there with like over 1,000. He's only played 3 games, which is pretty incredible. I was really, really, really impressed with Ole Miss. The fact that they were only able to get pressure with three linemen for most of the game. I mean, like they did not have to do anything exotic. They just sat back and like, now listen, on the LSU side, the thing that I was most frustrated with was this. You knew coming into the game, I knew Caden Durham was out. You also had an injury to one of your tackles in the pregame warm-up. So Kerryus Kern, true freshman, former 5-star, but a true freshman, had to start at the right tackle position. He struggled a little bit. But you lost those two players. You were banged up coming in. But Nussmeier is injured. Like Nussmeier is injured, and it's very obvious. And I don't know why they played him against Southeast Louisiana. They obviously need to rest him during the bye and figure it out. I don't think you go on the road and beat them with Michael Van Buren, although we saw Michael Van Buren last year against Ole Miss. They played pretty damn well. And he's not a bad president, brother. You know what I mean? Invented the sideburns.
Brian Kelly, this is going to sound comical, but it seems true. It's like he's trying to like stick it to the media. You know, we're asking him like, hey, why are you playing Nuss? Why can't you run the football? What the hell's wrong with your third down offense? It seems like he's out to prove them wrong or something.
It's a weird combative and like defensive response. And then what's afterwards, like I've been in all those press conferences. The post game one, I told you, I think I came out here after the Florida one. I was cracking up the whole time because I thought he was kidding. And you see what he like some of the other stuff, and he's always good to come back and kind of like take blame for it and say like, hey man, I should have handled this better or whatever, blah blah blah. And like I like Brian Kelly a lot, to be honest. Like being around him through fall camp, getting to be, he's been nothing but nice to me personally. We passed him in the halls and like I met him one time and shook his hand, talking about moving in here. Pass him in the halls, like going to like these press conferences like that. And he's like, how's the fiance? How's the move? Like nice dude. Like a really nice dude.
I've seen him in the gym.
Someone back here?
No, at media days.
These Bowflex. I will say there are some things that deserve to be questioned at this stage, and this level. And like, I think the frustration, man, that I had from a coaching standpoint had nothing to do with some of the play calling or the Nuss part. But you knew that Ole Miss's defense from a rushing defense perspective was the worst in the SEC coming in. That's in a limited sample size, and maybe those numbers are skewed. I don't know. But they were giving up like 190.5 yards per game rushing in the first 4 games. The fact that you came in knowing that in the first half, even with Durham out, you had 3 carries to your running backs for 14 yards in the first half. That's, in my opinion, that's unacceptable. Like Xavier Thomas or Xavier Thomas, he got the start at running back, even though he's a wideout. Him and Berrien Brown both got 7 or 5 or 7 carries once again. And I like that wrinkle to the offense, but it's like Harlan Berry's a former 5-star. You know, Caleb Jackson's a guy that's been in the program for 3 or 4 years. Like, you've got dudes there that you feel comfortable with that can run the football. At some point, there needs to be a real honest look in the mirror and say, what are we not doing right? because this is, I said this last week, this defense is good enough to win them a championship, to win them a championship of some sort. The offense is bad enough to keep them out of one. And that's, I think that's where they're at.
Yeah. And I'll tell you where Token's at. Chris, he gifted a membership to Bo Prabula. Welcome to the family. And Marshall's coming through with a gifted membership as well. Chris, he gifted Charles. I got a message for you, buddy.
Welcome to the family.
Yeah. Chris, yeah. you ain't invited.
I'm reading all these comments right now.
Hey, how about, I heard you went in on this team. Auburn. 16-10. Good Lord. This should have been an ass kicking, and it kind of was on the field, just not on the final score sheet here. But A&M's rolling. Their fans are on cloud nine over here.
Yeah.
And Auburn is back to hating Hugh Freeze. Like I've been trying to get them to hate him for a year and a half here. They're finally with me.
Yeah. I can't stop reading the comments.
I mean, there's just so bad on offense. His offense, his big players.
He is a self-appointed QB guru. Self-appointed QB guru.
Marla looks like Silent Bob's dumb cousin.
Junior. Wait, is Emily Powell an Auburn fan?
She is.
Oh, I feel bad. What about
a damn fine one. I got nothing against the fans. I just don't like Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, my fiance is an Auburn fan, so I don't feel that bad. It's not Auburn fans' fault that they hired Hugh Freeze.
No.
But this is what happens, and put me back on the screen and show my dumb, ugly face, okay? This is what happens when you let a bunch of good old boys, nine people specifically in your booster program, run the show for this long, and then be so over the top at figuring out who deserves to have the most say in how fucking average and mediocre this program can be and will be, because that's what it is. And you have these idiots fighting over who should have the most power and most say in hiring somebody, when let's look at the track record here, guys. The track record for y'all hiring people is not great. It's not great. And the track record for negotiations on the contracts is even worse. You brought in Hugh Freeze, which I honestly thought was a good fit because of his personality and the way Auburn fans carry themselves. This is nothing personal, pal. I'm just speaking from the heart here. But like the whole thing with the creed, it's just different down there, blah, blah, blah. Like that whole thing that's perfect with Hugh Freeze. This is a man that gets up every morning and tweets out Bible verses and shit, and then also is in people's DMs scolding them for saying something bad about them. Also, we all know what happened with Ole Miss and all that kind of stuff. I get it. But if you are sitting here and telling me he wasn't hired because he beat Alabama twice a decade ago, you're lying to me and you're lying to yourself. And I think we all know that's true. So you brought this person in. You gave him an open checkbook, just blank checks. Great movie, by the way. Fantastic movie, by the way. Henry the Limo Driver, iconic. But you gave him a blank check to go out and get Eric Singleton. Make sure you keep Cam Coleman. Get like all these other receivers. Go out and get Perry Thompson, former five-star. By the way, Perry Thompson, former five-star, same amount of receiving yards this year as Caden Proctor. Tough. But like this whole problem that they have offensively is his fault. Like, and every week we have to go up and watch this idiot go speak in front of people and say, no, I don't know. Well, you know, I was upset. I was frustrated with this. We got to execute the plays. You said before the season somebody else was going to call plays on second down and you figure out third down. It's like you want anybody but you to take the blame, but you also want all the credit for when things go good. And here's something I will never get over, Mike. It's the last part of this soapbox. But you have complained about your quarterback play for 2 years now. And also, side note, Auburn fans, you owe Peyton Thorne a fucking apology. But you've complained about your quarterback for 2 years now. You've got a stable full of backs this year that I think are pretty good. You had Jarquez Hunter a year ago, who's one of the best running backs in the SEC, and you refuse to give him the football. So at some point, it's not hard to figure out what's not going right. I'm not even going to say what's going wrong, but what's not going right. Change it up. No one's having huge expectations for you, but they do expect you to go out there and not have a 0-for-13 on third and fourth down. I mean, Jesus Christ, dude, what are we doing?
Man. It's almost like you saw this coming. You know what? But yeah. You said all that. which I agree with everything you just said, but we didn't throw any praise. How about to Texas A&M, particularly that defense are coming around. Now you could say, you know, but that's Auburn being shitty, but you know, I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. It's shout out Mike Elko. They kept highlighting it on the broadcast, the unique ways they were going about covering Cam Coleman.
Yeah.
I think they were confusing Jackson Arnold and of course getting after his ass, you know, the left tackle, they made him look awful. So, you know, it goes both ways. And A&M, had you, you know, hit an open touchdown, had you not got penalized on another touchdown,
so many penalties
is what killed him in that football game.
Had never been close. It also very much felt like at the end, it was like, oh my God, is Auburn going to somehow pull off a miracle here? And like, this is going to be what gets them going, because they never deserved to win that game. Mm-hmm. I thought it was awesome what Elko was able to do in the bye week, figure out a way to win this game. Sure, the offense wasn't great. First time he scored under 40 points, but it's also the first time he gave up less than 20. And that was a frustrating thing, I think, with him the first couple of games, because it's like we've seen Notre Dame's offense look really good against two SEC teams. But, yeah, it was a concern that maybe at the beginning of the season that UTSA put up 24 and then Utah State put up 22. Even those offenses are pretty good. I think that A&M has played a sneakier, better schedule than people realize. Especially Utah State's not a bad team. They're like, especially offensively. But this was a perfect, for lack of a better word, like slump buster, get right game for that defense, which was great. And it's nice to see that you don't have to, like, you're 4-0 for the first time in 9 years, and you've won two games against good Power Four opponents, like where you didn't need Marcel Reed to be incredible. You didn't need Marcel Reed to be Johnny Manziel. You need Marcel Reed to go out there and find a way to make some plays to win you a game. It was really good.
It was. And you said first time under 20. I obviously looking at it, I should have realized that. But really, I mean, hell, they only gave up 3 points in my book because of the touchdown was a 2-yard play set up by the interception. So, yeah, hell of a job by Elko and company. And they're just getting better and better. Clean up the issues. And they can. I'm not sitting here saying they're going to go undefeated, but I think they can conceivably beat everybody left on the schedule.
That's probably fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably fair.
You know what else is fair? Have you heard, Chris?
Hold on, Lee, just please put up Lee Honda H's.
Lee Honda?
Also, let's just talk about this for a second with Blank Check. Very unrealistic movie. What were they just letting this 9-year-old do for a job? He had a job. What kind of moron? I had a bad parent, but like my dad wasn't stupid enough to go out there and be like, oh, you're going to skip third grade summer at the pool and you're going to go be an intern for a millionaire that we've never met. Yeah, that's fine. Whatever, dude. It's whatever.
Yeah, quite the tangent there by you. But you know what's not a tangent here, Chris? They're back for another week. Shout out Poncho Outdoors. Go check them out. PonchoOutdoors.com/SEC. You can see the link right under the bottom here. We'll put that in the show notes as well. $10 off, Chris. I don't know if you're familiar with Poncho Outdoors, but you bet you should be. You should be, because this is a SEC-based brand, or at least it's in Austin, Texas. That's SEC now, brother.
Yes.
But they got... That's not the point. The point is they've got some outstanding clothes that you are going to love, Chris. And again, free shipping, free returns, free exchanges. Come on. Love Poncho it. Stands by every shirt they make, and they'll make it right if it's not your favorite. So go check them out, PonchoOutdoors.com/SEC. Right, they sent Shane some stuff. They sent me some stuff. And boy, are we loving our Poncho Outdoors. Again, you can't beat it. Poncho Outdoors.
Oh, this is cool.
.com/SEC. Get $10 off, buddy. We really appreciate it. Really helps the show. Maybe you need some gear, some nice. They do have some SEC themed stuff, like the Neyland shirt. I know you want that one, Chris.
Oh, hell yeah, brother.
Big orange there. But yeah, go check them out. It'll help us out. And also, don't forget Tennessee Legend, the best damn sponsor out there. They just gifted, Chris, this Tennessee Legend. I'm about to drink it when Tennessee wins this natty.
They don't send me a damn bottle of booze, I'm going to be very upset soon.
They gifted me 5 memberships to the... What kind of sponsor comes in here and gives memberships away? Tennessee Legend. That's who does it. So shout out Tennessee Legend. I'm trying to see who they gifted here. Shout out Dynasty Legend, they gifted Adam 270 videos. Don't go to that website. It's X-rated. Brandon Strafford, Versa Petronia, and Darnell Lee. Welcome to the family, courtesy Tennessee Legend. Speaking of a Tennessee legend, have you seen this damn Chris Brazel play football? Chris, come on. Is he not the best receiver in the damn SEC? I mean, he's incredible, isn't he?
Is it time that we can have an honest conversation about Joey Aguilar since y'all finally fucking calmed down over the "we won the Nico trade"? Yeah, I mean,
I thought Aguilar was awesome.
Dad played quarterback for y'all this year and still would have won the Nico trade.
Oh, okay. So you're not downgrading Swagular over here, are you?
No. I think he's still good, but also, like, if we're being honest, there's been several games where the offense looks great. I thought this was a really impressive, resilient game for them to go win. Love the fact that my former Parkview Panther, Mike Matthews, finally had over 100 yards. Brazel this year seems like the player we all thought and hoped he was going to be last year. But my point is, I mean, Aguilar, 60% completion percentage, 2 interceptions. There's things he's going to have to do, I think, in bigger moments this year, where he's not going to be able to, like against Oklahoma, maybe against Alabama on the road. They get Oklahoma at home, but that Bama game on the road, like, they're going to have to figure out a way to be a little bit more cleaned up. I thought it was a great win, though. It's a great win, and especially in a hostile environment. Like, to show you how loaded the slate was this weekend, they snuck this game in at 4:15, and it was one of the best games of the day.
Yeah.
It's hard to like I want to give Tennessee so much praise because they deserve it, man. Like, they're a 3-point loss in overtime away from being 5-0 and a top 5 team maybe in the country. They do have some flaws. I don't want to take anything away from them, but the story here, if we're being honest, with State, man, like, just it's hard to feel. It's hard not to feel like happy for this program, unless you're an Ole Miss fan, I'm sure. But like, with everything they've had to go through in the last 2 or 3 years as a program, I thought it was an awesome, awesome job by Lebby. It was almost a win. Obviously, you don't want to count moral victories, but it Hail State. Just, I don't know why that makes me laugh so much. I thought it was a great game for Mississippi State. It was good, like it was good to see Davis Wade rocking again and feeling like a pretty hostile environment for what's a good Tennessee team.
Yeah, and I think this is just, you know, this was kind of why seemingly everybody, unless you were a State fan, picked Tennessee to win this game. But I didn't think it would be as close as it was. I certainly didn't think it would be overtime. But you got one program that is, like, already there that knows how to win.
Yeah.
And you got one that is still finding its way. You know what I mean? But they have their miles better. I mean, we were all season. Can they win a game in the conference? Right. They're going to win multiple games in the conference the way they're playing. And they're going to go to a bowl game.
What's the schedule?
They're not quite there yet, but this was a hell of a performance by them. They got at A&M coming up. They got a bye week. They got at Florida, which Billy Napier will probably be fired by then. Texas, they ain't scared of Texas. Come on, not Starkville. Texas can't handle them Bales. At Arkansas, that's a win. Georgia, easy win. At Mizzou, they'll whoop their ass. And then the Egg Bowl, I mean, they might win them all.
That Egg Bowl is going to be fun, especially with a bye week beforehand. That's very interesting the way they have their schedule set up there. I mean, I'm just happy for them because I think that Arkansas game obviously is a win. And I think there's at least one more that they could win. Check my phone.
Maybe not right this second.
Oh yeah. Good point. Good point. I think that it's just a great story, and it's good. It speaks volumes of, like, how deep the conference is this year. And you know, I know there's, like, teams in the Big Ten or programs or and fans of that conference are going to say it's a lot of mediocre teams. I don't know what happens in bowl season, but I think it would be awesome to see Mississippi State get to bowl season in general, because that was a really, really impressive turnaround.
As was perhaps this South Carolina beating Kentucky, lockdown Gamecocks. Go check them out. But it was a must-win situation. They got down early, and I was thinking, oh man, I was thinking about you, Marla. You can verify this. I texted you. I said, man, the Cox playing like balls out here. I mean, they were looking bad. And then Kentucky imploded. Credit Carolina, for particularly their defense, for getting it done. But man, that was a huge win. Yeah.
Awesome win. I thought what they needed more than anything was to figure out a way to win. Because I think that had kind of gotten away from a little bit. You look at like the wins they've had so far, and I think the doubt was probably creeping in. The way that they were beaten by Vandy at home. I mean, I think Mizzou's a really good team. I really do. I think, but they had chances to win that game, even though how bad they played. But to come in, like Cutter Bowley is a guy that maybe he'll be a good starter at some point. But that was a redshirt freshman making his first start in the SEC, making his first road start as well. And he looked every bit of that part in Williams-Brice, which is a huge, huge credit to what Clayton White was able to do. One of the things they kept talking about during the week of practice was getting back to fundamentals and getting back to basics in terms of like tackling, because they had a ton of missed tackles. They cut that number in half. I think they only had like six, something like that. They had over 18, I believe, against Missouri. They did really, really well. And they also – those the edge rushers for South Carolina, not just Dylan Stewart – they're really good. Brian Thomas Jr. has been good. JT Gear's been really good. They're pretty deep at that spot. I think a lot of people don't realize that yet. But again, just the fundamentals, being able to figure out a way to not miss tackles, win the turnover battle. It's the fourth time in five games that they've not only won the turnover battle, but they had zero turnovers themselves, which is great. The offensive line was much better. Didn't allow a sack. I think the one thing too that was most impressive to me. That was a Kentucky team that came in allowing just three sacks on the year in three games, but three sacks in the year and had two turnovers. By halftime, you had three sacks. You ended with six, and you also had four turnovers by halftime as well. So really, really great job by them. Figured out a way to get ahead, put your foot on someone's throat, do not let them back up. I was very, very, very pleased with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thoughts on – I don't really want to talk about Notre Dame, Arkansas, because it was a – beat down, but just Sam Pittman getting let go. Thoughts on that, and where, you know, if you think they could get like a perfect realistic hire, who do you think that potentially could be for the Razorbacks?
Gus Malzahn. I know that Rhett Lashley is like the favorite. I love Arkansas fans. I want them to be happy. I think they're going through so much shit right now, and it's got to be frustrating. And it's not just in one sport. It feels like a snake-bitten, cursed fan base right now. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's Bobby Petrino that's going to fix it. I don't know. I don't know. I want to read you something, though, because I do want to take a minute to go to bat for Sam Pittman. And we do this a lot because we love to have these knee-jerk reactions to say, you know, this guy sucks. He's not any good. They need to run him off, blah, blah. And I understand they want to win games, and that is the name of the game. He still has to win. So I'm not trying to make an excuse for him. I'm trying to just let everyone factually be aware of the actual numbers. Sam Pittman finished his tenure at Arkansas 32-34, 66 total games. He was 32-34. In the SEC, he went 14-29. Okay. Against top 25 teams, he went 7-24. Those are all bad numbers. But I also want to look at it through a different lens here and let you know how fucking difficult it is to win in this conference, especially at teams that aren't that good, if we're being honest. We all remember Chad Morris, okay? That means that out of 66 games and out of the 34 losses, 71% of his losses, 24-34, came against top 25 teams. 47% of his total games that he ever coached were against ranked opponents. Almost half of his teams, almost half the games he ever had to coach were against ranked opponents. And 56% of his losses of 19-34 were by one score. That is how thin the margin is for error in this league. I will always go to bat for Sam Pittman. I love Sam Pittman. I wish he had a lifetime contract there. I get the frustration, and it was probably time for him to go after what we saw on the field on Saturday. But fuck, that's a tough job, man. That's a pretty massive uphill battle he had to face. Do you know that in his first 3 years, he played four ranked opponents in his first six games three times. So like out of the gates, the first half of the season, they opened with a ranked opponent in four of the six games. And you're talking about like comparing that to other like teams like or conferences like in the Big Ten, especially like it was just a brutal schedule for him, but. It was definitely time to go, man.
And I'm already tired of this comment, Chris. You let me know. We have got to be smarter as people.
No.
Some of us aren't, but I get... And I'm not calling out man with the plan, but I guess I kind of am. What happened last time Arkansas hired an SMU coach? That has got literally nothing to do
but
with, Rhett Lashley.
Let's also be objective here for a second. I know that it's an SEC show and that we pull for SEC fans, but or SEC teams. But do you think right now in the NIL era that Arkansas is a better job than SMU?
Yeah, because I think the ACC is going to implode here in a couple years, and it's not that many years. You know what I mean? So, good luck being Washington State or Oregon State, which SMU is going to be in about 4 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're also going to be there with billions of dollars in endowment money and billions of dollars from donors.
You ever heard of Walmart? You ever heard of the Dallas Cowboys?
Then spend it, brother. Then fucking spend it.
They got
it
too.
What are we doing?
I mean,
what are your chicks out here saying we don't have any money? Like,
that's a Eurochick problem, if you ask me. And they, I don't think they have belief in the money people. I don't think they ever believed in Sam Pittman, unfortunately.
I agree with that, and that's fair. Hold on, there's just an announcement made about the Superdome. It's very important.
The damn Superdome.
Oh, okay. Never mind. They're hosting the national championship. Anyway, no, I don't disagree with you, but to an extent, that is a Eurocheck problem, and he cannot be in charge to make the next hire. I said this a bunch, and Arkansas fans hate it, and I get where their frustration comes from, but like, there is a problem in this conference with expectations from fan bases, and you shouldn't have to sit here and be expectant. And be okay with going 8-4 or 7-5.
Yeah, but
there's also a long track record of programs to look at and say, hey, man, it was great in 2010 and 2011. But there's also a lot of 2012s and 2018s and 2019s to look at it for Arkansas. Like, I don't know who the next hire should be. And also, like, dude, we're like,
wait, no, I got to stop you because you've gone too far. This is damn ridiculous. Shout out, Jake. Yeah. This is the SEC, brother. Get your head out your ass. You know where I heard the same shit, Chris?
What? Tell me.
I heard it at Tennessee. Don't go to Tennessee. Those fans are crazy. Tennessee, Matt Jones said they're Nebraska. Of
Matt Jones?
I mean, idiots like that, you know, talking points. You know what else? I heard you can't win at Ole Miss. They're one of the damn winningest programs in the country right now. I heard you can't win at Missouri. They're one of the winningest programs in the country right now. Mm-hmm. At Arkansas, you can get this done. Yeah, we got to have alignment. We got to have a cutting-edge coach in there. And the fan base is there. The facility is there. The stadium is there. The conference is there. Great. You can get it done. This
number
is all.
Number four ranks beautiful campus, or I think it's the fourth best-looking campus in America, as voted by someone. I forgot who it was.
Hell yeah. And I'm not even talking about the women, but that's an excellent point, Chris. I mean, this is – you got everything you need. I don't want to do it. I don't want to hear SMU's better. That's trash.
No, SMU has more money. So right now, care. In terms of a job stability, I would go to SMU over Arkansas right now.
Well, they're right. You are a dumb silent Bob.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Did it work for Chad Morse? Did it work for Brett Bielema, who left one of the winningest programs in the fucking country consistently? 9 wins every year, Rose Bowl bids every 3 to 4 years, like players getting into the Heisman Trophy finalists. Like, that was one of the most consistent.
Bielema's problem was his wife.
One of the most consistent programs in the country, and he came to fucking Arkansas to compete in the SEC West, and what happened?
He hired very, very poorly at coordinator. That's what happened.
So they need to, if they're going to do this, they better pour resources into it, because this idea that Hunter Yurichich is to be like, well, I'll tell you what, we don't know, we don't have enough money to spend. Fucking find it, dude. Go to Sam Walton's house, knock on any of the 18 front doors I'm sure he has, and then ask him for money.
Where are all these SMU championships? Did I miss them?
What?
Where's all these championships SMU's buying?
No one said anything about them buying championships. They made the college football playoff last year. They didn't go to the fucking Liberty Bowl for the 8th year in a row.
That's just because that entire conference imploded and there was no good teams.
Sure, it might implode again. The ACC is a pretty easy slate to get through, man.
And then what happened? And when they got to the playoff too, didn't they get their ass smoked?
They did, and they didn't play in the fucking Liberty Bowl. So, like, I can't believe we're having this argument.
If I would have thrown old Arkansas in the ACC last year, they probably would have made the playoff too, with Sam Pittman as a coach. How about that?
I don't know how we're arguing that SMU, which is a higher ranked team, a more stable job with more money in your donor base, more willing money that's being
Sam
given
Walton's
to them.
Dead, Marler.
I don't even know who Marler is. M-A-R-L-A-R.
What you go? Are you locked on SMU too? Get the hell out of here.
Pony Express, boys. Pony Express.
They probably are. They probably don't even deserve a locked on channel if I had to guess.
I'm sure they have one. I bet it's awful. It's in the Big 12.
All right. Which game are you looking forward to the most this weekend?
In the SMU ACC? Syracuse, the showdown in the ACC. Two blue bloods coming for each other. Coming on each other.
Bama, Vanderbilt, game day? Because I personally think the better game is Mississippi State A&M. Not the better story, the better game, perhaps.
I think it's a bit, I don't know, man. That Bama Vandy game is like the line opened at 13.5 and it's down to 9.5 within like 24 hours. I think that's gonna be a really good game because I think that Vandy's good, man. Vandy's got the fourth best scoring offense in the country. They have not been tested yet from a team standpoint. It'll be interesting to see Mississippi State go on the road against a Power Four team. We saw them in week one go to Southern Miss in the game that like That was Southern Miss's Super Bowl for sure, and they were able to figure out a way to win that game, even though it was kind of close at halftime. I'm interested to see that game. I do think that A&M is way better, and that's going to be a pretty juiced up stadium. It's going to be at night in College Station. All them boys dressed up as milkmen, been sitting around drinking that 2% almond milk all day. Going to be all fired up. Go do the little campfire sing-alongs in Kyle Field. Weirdest fucking shit, dude. But I think it'll be a really great atmosphere. And also A&M is very good. The Bama Vandy game is interesting because I think Bama fans still – Bama fans by Saturday are going to have this like, yeah, fuck these people. It's revenge time. But all of them should go into this game with a lot of nervousness and anxiety because Vandy is legit. Like, Vandy is a good team. They're very well coached. They don't make a ton of mistakes. They're disciplined. And they control – I tell you what, I do know more than anything, Mike, that if Clark Lee had a chance to beat Alabama – and his offense was running for 7 yards a carry, he would have probably run the football and either I think that team would have found a way to beat Alabama on Saturday. I firmly believe that. It's not a shot at Kirby, but like those are decisions that Clark Lee has consistently made. Like you saw it last year against them. That was not some fluke game. They beat them similar. Yeah, bro.
Marler works out. He just wants us all to know.
Yeah,
well, he hasn't touched some weights. They are back there, but I bet you.
Cobwebs in there.
I bet you could lift those weights right over his head. Junior, shout out, Junior. Gifted a membership to Josh Simpson. Josh, got a message for you here, buddy.
Welcome to the family.
How about now? Maybe I'm misreading the situation. We got Texas at Florida. I mean, I'm about done with Florida. I've given up on them, which probably means they'll win outright. But is this a game where Texas comes in here and whoops their ass and we're like, oh, don't forget about Texas? Or is this the circle the wagons for because hell, if Florida gets whipped here, that's probably the last game for Napier, don't you think?
No.
You don't think?
What changed? Oh, now we're going to fire him because he lost to the preseason number one team.
So we're just going to keep doing this?
I guess. I don't know. Like somebody said this at the very beginning of the show, Scott Strickland. And Scott Strickland, he said, how long are we going to be held ransom held hostage from this guy? He's fucking terrible. He is fucking terrible. I'll put these weights up over my head right now, Green Wave.
Do it on camera.
No, 1,000% I can. The idea that this
should we bring your fiance?
Oh, get in here, spot me. It's just a fucking robot that I. It's a blow up doll that I've attached to a Roomba that just comes in. I knew it wasn't real. Anyway, not a lot of the show is generous. Oh, that's nice. I forgot what we're talking about. I don't think the Texas thing is interesting to me because I don't think they're that good. It'll be interesting to see what they look like with the week off. I do keep going back to the fact that like Billy Napier said he sees something different. He sees something in DJ Lagway's eye this week, which I can only imagine is like it's some injury that he also somehow suffered again, because he guy gets hurt like every couple of weeks. Thank you, John. Anyway, yeah, it'll be interesting for sure. Is it snowing? I can't believe we haven't talked about this yet, considering the shit that these idiots, and I love you guys, but the shit that these idiots talk about in the, yes, that's a good point from Sigor. Strickland would have been fired if it wasn't for basketball. His overall record for all of the teams is bad.
Right.
But also somebody brought up, thank you, Cotton. I think it'll be very interesting this week. I forgot to say, oh, I can't believe you haven't brought up the Dan Lanning tweet. Considering all the stuff that people say in these comments that Cousin Shane posted,
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Go to Cousin Shane's Twitter right now. Okay. Did you not see Dan Lanning after the win against Penn State?
I don't watch any Oregon bullshit.
Mike, I don't even know what everyone says to me in the chat every time I come on this show.
What's that?
About the snow and. Go look at Dan Lanning's video after the Penn State game. It is, I had like five listeners tag me in it.
Oh, he's all coked up after the game or something?
Dude, please go pull it up. It's incredible. I said it to you last night, I think.
All right, I'm playing it now. This is great radio. Good Lord.
Show the tweet.
I don't think we can show TV stuff on here. But basically, it's Marler. Sniffing and doing coke on here.
Yeah, we should have been a restaurant, dude. We should have been a restaurant. What do you think? Huh? You want a trip? You want to go on a trip? You want to go on a safari? You want to go on a safari?
Hey, no. Why did you just
come out of the bathroom like that?
Too tall. He's got a question for us. If Pavi has 300 total yards, does Vanderbilt win?
I don't know, because I think that means, I mean, that would be impressive, obviously, but I think they have to be a little bit more balanced offensively. If they throw for 300, I would have to assume that they are not able to run the football, which I don't think.
Well, he said total yards.
If he throws for 300?
No. 300 total yards for Pavia.
I don't think that means they're going to win. I the thing that's going to come down to is what he does on third downs and what he does overall. Look, remember, he's only – last year against Bama, he was the second player against Bama in like 20 years to complete 80% of his passes – with two touchdowns or more and zero interceptions and complete and for 200 yards. It was him and Steven Garcia. Like the bad thing for Vandy in coming into this game specifically is that they don't have the luxury of being overlooked this year. Marla, I'm curious, what is
I don't think you can answer that question, but I did want to highlight it and shout out Cousin Ben
over here.
He says Marler's background looks like the one Shane would use on his 7 a.m. show.
What does that mean?
Well, Shane's always like showing places where he never actually goes, like a gym.
Oh, funny. Okay. Anyway, that's Bo. So Bo says, I live in Eugene. I don't think cocaine's illegal here. I know mushrooms aren't. I don't know. It was insane. I don't remember. Oh, the LSU thing. Yeah, there's some. Everyone's pretty upset over here.
Anyway. Is the season done? All right, final thing here. Who's the best team in the SEC if you had to pick one?
Today? Yes, I'm going to go with Oklahoma with John Mateer. I know he's out right now, but I think that the way they played defensively especially is just very, very, very impressive. They could have lost to Auburn, but they didn't. They're not going to lose this weekend. I hate that we're not going to be able to get to see the Texas game with Mateer in it, but I think
– He could be back. I don't think he will, but they're – They're leaving hope that he could play.
Yeah. Even with if he doesn't play, the defense is good enough, I think, to get you to a championship. My power rankings, I had them. I had Ole Miss second. I think Ole Miss deserves a look at number one as well. They are – there is no QB controversy. I said it last week to you, and I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. Trinidad Chambliss' team moving forward. And it sucks that you lose a job to injury like Austin Simmons did, but he – also has been outplayed by him. So, and then I think the other teams in the top five that if I was putting them on a field right now, I would put, who did I have at three? Oh, A&M at three, Vandy at four, Bama at five. I know Missouri fans are going to be upset about that, but if you look at just the body of work, I think that it's hard to look at what Bama has done, what Vandy has done, and think that it's less impressive than what Missouri's done. Missouri's a good football team and they're 5-0, but they played nobody. And I love Ahmad Hardy. I think he should firmly be in the Heisman Trophy race, especially like probably in the top 3 to 5. He's been awesome. The defense is a lot better. I just need them to play somebody before we can actually start talking with them in a serious way.
Florida's not in the top 5?
They're not even a top 5 state in the SEC.
Oh, shit. All right. Hey, that's about our time. Anything else, buddy? And plug all your stuff before you go.
That's it for me today. Sorry I got so distracted at the end. Vern _ Funquist on Twitter. Locked On Gamecocks is a podcast. We also have Fourth and Wrong. We're going to be coming back with that. My co-host is the Ryder Cup all weekend, so it's his fault America lost. We'll be back with that live show, I think either tonight or tomorrow, so make sure you tune in for that as well.
Ooh, yeah, go check them out. All right, we'll be back tonight with our buddy Stephen Lassen, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, as always.
That was Stephen with a rough comb through his hair.
He won't do it. He's too busy.
Yeah.
He's like the opposite of you. He works all day. All right, shout out, Marler. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you here in a little bit. Bye-bye.
Appreciate you guys. See you next week.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.